It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam. It's Friday night, Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports with wacky ass hijinks and analysis. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Well, it's going great now that you're in good enough of a mood to give me a middle name again.
Yeah, I've had a long time to sit on the Michael Penix pick. I still don't like it, but I'm not going to let it cloud having a good time with our once a week podcast.
You've moved on in life.
But I'm still fixated on it. I'm still fixated on my, you know, absolute, I wouldn't say hatred for Terry Fontenot, but just my disillusionment with his strategy for drafting picks for this team over the course of his career. But you know what? I can't do anything about it. Like, I've made peace with the fact that it's happened. I'm still not happy that it did.
What's done is done. The past is the past, and all we can do is look forward, Graham. And to all our users out there, you can look forward to a very Braves heavy episode this week. We've heard the feedback. We've talked way too much Hawks.
You voted with your ears. We've noticed the numbers slipping without talking about the Braves. A Braves preview show, I think, was the highest rated we've had since joining Belly Up Sports.
Yeah,
and since then it's just. I mean, it's still people are listening, but it's not as good as that one was. So, well, we know you want your Braves, and we got your Braves.
And in our defense, you know, NFL draft's a pretty big deal.
NFL draft's a big deal, and we got a little more emotionally invested in the Hawks than usual, just because I think, you know, that franchise is at such a crossroads right now, and obviously Alexa and I having our season ticket package. Made us more emotionally invested in them this year. Not that we're not emotionally invested, but you know what I mean. Like you go to seven games and you're like, you know, you're feeling it a little bit more than usual, even if the team is still a piece of garbage.
So what you're saying is you let your personal life affect your work life, Graham.
Sports is my personal life, Adam. It's not all my personal life, but it's a major part of who I am emotionally.
Right, but the heart of this podcast is the Braves, Graham.
That's true.
And you let your ticket package with the Hawks affect your podcast.
Well, see, that's the great thing about the Braves is that they just consistently perform, at least in the regular season. Even if three of your stars, and Austin Riley, Matt Olson, and Ronald Acuna Jr. are playing well below expectation. They're still 20-9 as of this recording, heading into this big series with the Dodgers this weekend. I mean, it's just insane how that works out.
I do love how anytime like you say something about the Braves, you have that like out there, at least in the regular season.
Prove me wrong.
At least a not against the Phillies.
Yeah, like I have no doubts, concerns, fears in the regular season. This team is built to win in the regular season. I have no worries about that at all. It's just once we get into October, that's when my butt starts clenching.
Well, Mr. Butt Clencher, let's get into it.
Braves are doing just fine, folks. They are in first place in the NL East, as it should be, 20-9. Only a half game above Philadelphia. They're also playing outstanding baseball. I think they're at like 20-11 or 20-10. And the Braves, Adam, are in first place with a 20-9 record, despite the fact that Austin Riley, Matt Olson, and Ronald Acuna Jr. are not playing that well. Their on-base percentages are low. Batting averages are low. Slugging percentage is low. But in spite of all that, the Braves continue to win, and they lost back-to-back for the first time against Seattle at the end of April, and it was the first time they've lost back-to-back games all season. It just goes to show how good this team is overall.
And one of those was a walk-off in the ninth inning.
Right, where your closer was having the day off.
Yeah, pitching and shut him out.
How are you feeling, though, about Riley, Olson, and Acuna as they continue to struggle so far to start the year? I know Riley caught fire in that last game against Seattle.
Yeah, I feel like...
I don't know.
I'm not too worried about any of them.
Why is that?
Well, Riley and Olson, they've been hitting the ball hard. I think baseball's definitely messed with the baseballs.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking
MLB
about
MLB is best with the baseballs.
Yes, I think a lot of people have mentioned that the balls are dead this year. There's not as many home runs being hit so far, and it's really odd to me considering like every other sport—hockey, baseball, football, soccer—it's like the dimensions of the ball, the weight of the ball is pretty consistent every year. We don't see a lot of expansion of sizes or weight.
Yeah,
but with baseball, it's like, this year, it's like, let's beef up the ball so we hit more home runs. And the next year, it's like, let's deaden the ball. We're in a dead ball
year.
They're
just tinkering. They're tinkering left and right.
I don't understand it. It's as stupid as the blackout rules.
I saw, like, Olson, like, hit a ball that was like, oh, that's going to be, like, 20 rows deep, and it's caught at the wall. But he's been hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
Riley's been hitting the ball hard. Acuna, I'm not concerned about him because it's Ronald Acuna Jr., but, like, some of the bigger stats where, like, his whiff rate is like way up again.
Yeah.
And he's not chasing balls out of the zone. He's just missing balls in the zone again.
But I think he is also chasing balls in the zone. There's been a few times when I've been watching recently where he's chasing off speed pitches on the out, you know, low and away that he was not chasing last year.
Yeah.
His strikeout rate is up to 27.9%. Last year it was 11.4%. So yeah. That's a problem for Ronnie, but with all these guys, the track record is there. I'm a big track record guy. That's why I'm not freaking out, is because I know how good these players are. And I agree with you, especially on with Austin and Olson. They're fine. And I think Acuna's fine. Like, they will be okay. The fact that Ronald Acuna only has one home run, and we're recording this on May
3rd. Still only one?
Yeah, it's insane.
That's crazy.
It's insane, but like everybody's going to go through peaks and valleys. We know Matt Olson in particular is a very streaky hitter. It's okay. Everybody look at their careers and see that they will be fine. It's not like the Falcons where it's just like, I don't know. It's like you have concrete evidence that tells you that Acuna, Olson, and Riley are going to get their stuff together. And I think you're right with Riley and Olson in terms of hitting the ball hard. Olson's exit velocity overall is 94.7, and that's a mile per hour higher than last year.
So the eye test matches with the actual stats, huh?
Yeah, and like, you know, you look at batting average and balls in play. So Austin Riley has a 310 batting average of balls in play. He's hitting 235. That tells me that's, you know, his batting average is going to go up. Olson is... batting average and balls in play and average is similar, 206 average versus 264 batting average and balls in play. Yeah, that's pretty close. So it tells me he's going to start finding some more holes. Acuna's is a little wild to me. 252 batting average, 368 batting average in balls in play, which says that he's getting a little luckier than what his batting average should be right now, which is a tad concerning, but it's still Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking stats, Graham, got some team stats for you, which is some of these are like a little surprising considering those three guys are not raking. First in runs per game, second in batting average, second in on-base percentage, third in slugging percentage, second in hits per game. Here's where it drops off, 20th in home runs.
Not hitting a lot of homers.
The team that set the record last year, ninth in ERA, first in errors, which that was like one of the narratives
with Ron Washington leading.
Coming into this season. Yeah, it was that maybe the defense was going to slack a little bit with Washington being gone. But, you know, I think the outfield defense is just so good with Kelnick in left field. And
Kelnick made a hell of a play. I can't remember which game in the Seattle series it was. I can't remember if it was game one or two. It wasn't the third one. But, like, he must have run 120 feet to catch this ball and dove and made just a beautiful catch. The guy doesn't hit home runs. He only hits singles. But I swear to God, he plays really good left field defense. I mean, it's one of those things where if Eddie Rosario was there, he would have slid about 20 feet too early and it would have been a triple.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, our weak links defensively, and, like, your boy Arcia, he has improved.
He's playing his ass off.
Like, he is playing unbelievably defensively.
He's not hitting worth a shit, but he's playing great defense. I mean, he's still hitting over 300, but he's cooled off a lot since the first couple weeks of the season.
Like, Ozzie's maybe our weak link defensively, Ozzie or Olsen. Like, Ozzie doesn't have the range of, like Guillorme is a much better defender than Ozzie.
And Ozzie's got that weak. Ozzie's got that with Guillorme in there. Come on.
Ozzie has a weak arm.
His arm isn't
there's
as
a double
maybe
play.
His
that,
arm isn't
there was
as
a double
Guillorme's.
Play that wasn't turned that I saw because of Ozzie's arm.
I've never noticed Ozzie obviously be a shitty defender though.
No, he's not shitty. The ball. He's not shitty. But I'm saying that's how. See, Graham, you're an extremist. I said he's our weak link.
I don't think he's our
that
weak link.
That doesn't mean he's shitty.
I don't think, like,
Olsen, maybe. I don't know. Someone's got to be the worst defender on the
team. Yeah, I want to know who's got the most errors on the team right now. But
I would guess Olsen. I mean, we could easily look this up.
We could easily look this up, but
I'm somewhat interested in it.
All right, let's see. Adam, it's Austin Riley, 2 errors. Ozzie Albies, 2 errors. Matt Olson, 2 errors. Those are your leaders.
Okay.
I want to switch back to Acuna for a second in terms of his struggles, and I think this isn't the only reason, but it's just another thing to keep in mind. Acuna's pull rate is 48.1% this year. Last year was 39.7%. That might not seem like a lot, but if you're trying to pull the ball almost 50% of the time, that could be a problem. He's not hitting the ball to the to center field as much this year. You know what I mean? So it's just, I hope him and Seitzer have some time to really, and Chipper hopefully gets his ass in there and really figure out what's going on with Ronnie, man. I don't think it's an injury thing. Cause like, if you're pulling the ball that much, you're not injured. He doesn't look injured when he's in the field. I was just thinking about a spring training injury he suffered, you know, where he tweaked his knee a little bit and sat out for a week.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that. I think, and he's not a guy to put pressure on himself at this point in his career to me either. So I wonder what the deal is. Like, why, like, beyond like the dead end ball, the approach of the play doesn't seem as good as it usually is. But you're still seeing him affect games. Like, even in that first game he lost, you know, he hit a single, stole second, stole third, scored the go ahead run. He's still contributing in some way, but it's just like the RBIs are down. Home runs only at 1, you know, he's only hitting 250, and I'm surprised it's that high, honestly. It just doesn't seem like he's getting on base that much.
I'm sure he's pressing a little bit, so that'll, like, just naturally kind of make you swing at pitches out of the zone a little bit. But it's Ronald Acuna Jr. Like, guy had one of the all-time greatest seasons in baseball last year.
Right. I mean, 689 OPS sucks. Yeah. Like, that's flat out, like, awful. And that's just not him. The lowest OPS he's ever had was 764 in 2022.
He's going to come back and
he's going to come back and be
like,
fine.
Like a 15 home run month or something.
Yeah, he'll be good. For it. I mean, compare that last year, 1.012 OPS. So
yeah,
the slugging's at 322 right now, though. That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
that's so low. So
he's like a classic leadoff hitter right now.
He really is. He's just hitting singles, getting walks every once in a while,
stealing bases.
But we need him to be that beast. But the fact to bring this back to formula here, the fact that we are 20-9 with those guys scuffling the way they are tells me that this is still a great team. And I think we need to talk about the rotation and give it its due. Over the last 10 games, the starting rotation has a 1.92 ERA.
Mm.
Outstanding. Sale, Lopez, and Elder, and Fried overall have a 3.38 ERA. And Max Fried has really turned it on. Last two starts, 15 innings, 3 hits, 13 strikeouts, 2 walks, a 0 ERA, and a 0.3 whip.
Yeah.
I think he stopped throwing that sweeper and just said, I'm going to attack you assholes like it's 2021 in Game 6 of the World Series. I mean, he looks like a different man now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like with Ronnie. Like, we knew Max Fried wasn't going to pitch to an ADRA all year, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been awesome. Like, all of those guys, like, Charlie's look great.
Sale
looks like Chris Sale of old.
Look at these Sale stats. 3.44 ERA, 0.92 whip. That whip is elite. Like,
yeah.
That's the way he's throwing his off-speed pitches. I know he only went 5 innings against the Mariners in his last start. But goddamn, that breaking pitch was moving like it was 2019, 2018 Sale. If he can stay healthy, I am extremely excited by his output so far. I don't want to get too high or too low in late April, early May games, but damn nation, he's looked good. He also had 3 consecutive starts where he went 7 innings.
So you don't hate him anymore?
I never hated him.
Well, that's what my note says.
Well, your note is wrong.
Okay.
I never hated him. Ever. It was just one of those things where, to me, given his injury history over the last 5 seasons, I was wary about adding him to an already injury-plagued rotation when it comes to like the postseason. Like, we've been missing guys. Guys have been getting banged up, et cetera, over the last 2 years. And so to add a guy that's missed a lot of starts over the last 5 years was concerning to me. But so far, I mean, the results speak for themselves. The guy has been fantastic.
Yeah, that's worked out great. Ronaldo Lopez has just been a beast.
How the hell? Like, it's so amazing to me how great he's looked. I mean, he had his, like, worst start, which was, like, 5 innings, 3 earned runs the other night.
Yeah.
And you knew his, like, I don't think he'd given up more than 1 run the whole season so far.
Yeah, no.
But I've really been impressed by him with his ability to mix his off-speed pitch with the fastball. And his fastball is hitting at, like, 97 when he needs to. And his off-speed pitch has been great. He's been striking out 6-7 guys at seemingly every start. Braves have unlocked something on this young man because he hasn't been a starter in years, and he's just kicking ass so far. He's been our best pitcher overall.
They're just playing it so carefully with him because he has been a reliever, a very good reliever recently.
Yeah, he has been a good reliever.
So they're, they've given him 6-7 days off between starts because they have the depth that can bring up a Darius Vines, someone like that, to give all of these guys more rest. I mean, like you said, they're all a little injury prone, so that makes 100% sense to like use your depth that you have in the minors. You've got a few more guys down there that are potentially major league ready, so give them some run up here. We're still playing great ball, so why not? We don't need these guys to pitch every 5 days. And then kudos to Bryce Elder. He comes up and he told Snit he was going to be ready, and he sure as hell has so far.
Yeah, he's looked good so far. It hasn't been, all-star level Elder for me at this point in terms of like where we saw him at his best last year, but it's been above average. Like, he's been good.
Gives you 6-7 innings. That's what you want from him.
Yeah.
3 runs or less every time.
It's fine. You know, and the bullpen has been great. Joe Jimenez has looked really good. overall, I think.
Freaking Jesse Chavez back doing Jesse Chavez things.
Why was he out? Like, there's like a week that went by where he didn't pitch. I don't understand that.
I think just because the starters were all going seven innings.
They were going, like, there was one night where we didn't, you know, Freed throws a complete game against Miami where he didn't need anybody.
Throws a freaking Maddox. Yeah. That game was over in like less than 2 hours.
Yeah, it was like an hour 53, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he pitched great the other night. Iglesias has been good. Seeing Matzek pitch again, I know. Had a couple of wobbly appearances.
I
don't
realize his ERA was as high as it was until I was at the game on Sunday and saw it up in like the sevens.
Yeah, it's he's been a little wobbly, but like he's just had like a couple of bad appearances, but for the most part, he's been fine. I think he just needs to get that under control. I still have full faith in him, considering once again his track record. I think that ERA will be much lower by the time the season is over if the Braves just stick with him. Like Bummer's been fine. Like everybody's been pretty good so far out of the bullpen, I would say overall. And this series coming up, or by the time you guys hear this, it'll be over with the Dodgers. Who knows what will happen? I guess you'll know when you're listening. But sitting here in
you won't be able to watch it.
Sitting here in the past, we'll be able to watch it, Adam. Don't you worry. Sitting here in the past, though, I don't think there's any reason to overreact or underreact to the results of this series. It's May 3rd as of this recording. It's fine, whatever happens. Like, we could get swept. I'm not going to give a shit. We could sweep them. I'm not going to give a shit. Like, I'm not going to give a shit, but it's like, I'm not going to read too deep into the details of this series. It is one of our biggest rivals. We want to kick their ass. Obviously, the Freddy factor, blah, blah, blah. But
throw Otani into the mix now.
Otani's there. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great baseball, hopefully. But, I think it's just one of those things. If you're a Braves fan at this point, you can't. Like, I couldn't believe the social media reaction with us losing two games to the Mariners. It was like the world was ending. I was like, are you guys a fan of the Hawks or the Falcons, too?
Yeah. And the Mariners are good.
Like, they have one of the best rotations in baseball. I think they gave up, like, two earned runs over, like, 30 innings or something recently. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been absurd. Like, their offense is whack, but their pitching staff is outstanding, bullpen and rotation. So it's like, I'm not going to worry about that. We know how good this team is in the regular season. We don't need to worry right now. Worry in October. Like, Jesus, it's unbelievable the reaction of people on Twitter right now with the Braves. But you know, this series is, I won't even say it's important, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, I think. But it's not something that, regardless of outcome, you need to wig out about either way. Like, even if we sweep them and beat them 12-0 every time, it's, who gives a shit? It's May.
Yeah.
You know.
Some injury news for you. Sean Murphy, been out since, what, the second game of the year?
Yeah.
That oblique strain. They're taking it super, super slow with him. And he has finally hit off a tee.
Oh.
But he's a long ways from a rehab stint. Like, I did not think this would be, like, it's going to be.
Dude, obliques are a bitch.
He's not coming back. Okay, Dr. Graham. He's not. You torn your oblique a few times?
No, but just historically, when I've seen people get injured with obliques that I care about.
It's the word around town.
It's like months.
Yeah. So, because they have the luxury of having a very quality third string catcher in your boy Trump.
Except for the time he gave up 3 pass balls in one inning, but, you know, we won't talk about that.
I don't remember that.
Can't remember. It was against the Guardians. It was one of the games against the Guardians. It was like 3 pass ball. I think it was Saturday night.
Who was pitching?
Can't remember. It was a 7th inning.
Yeah.
Or something. Oh, no. It was when Elder was pitching. Mm. It was brutal. But I like Trump as a backup catcher. Yeah. He's fine. It was a bad inning for him defensively.
He's been really solid, though. And, like, the pitchers have all raved about him and his ability to call a game. But anyway, so we have that luxury, but it would be nice to get Sean Murphy back.
You know what, Adam? If only we just hadn't traded William Contreras.
Right? Oh, no.
Can I tell you what he's doing right now?
I knew this was coming. I saw it earlier.
All right. He's hitting .345, .420 on base percentage, a .538 slugging, .958 on base plus slugging percentage, 5 home runs, 26 RBI. I'm not going to say this is exactly like Michael Penix or anything, but it's like, you had a position solidified. Why mess with it? You could have traded a bunch of prospects for a real left fielder instead of Jared Kelnick, Adam Duvall, platoon, which has been fine, but wouldn't you rather have like a legitimate guy out there who's playing every day?
If that guy's out there, Graham.
He might have been. We have no idea. Because we had to go all in for this catcher and trade five prospects away from him.
I mean, the guy hurt his oblique.
But William Contreras is kicking ass, and he was ours.
Well, that's the way it goes sometimes. I'll give you...
It's not like you were trading from a position of weakness. Like, the position was
fine. Understand your point. Like, you don't need to reframe.
I know, but, like, so how can you justify it?
Because it's not a done deal yet. Like, you can't gauge a trade based off 1 year and then the guy gets injured at the beginning of the next year. It's not done yet.
They had comparable stats.
And he's locked in. And
Ron Contreras is locked in for the next three seasons.
We've had the conversation about the defensive side and how that's like so undervalued.
The WAR was similar, which calculates defense as well.
You don't know how much better the pitchers are because of the catcher. That does not factor in WAR.
But we had
that factor into
it
WAR?
It does not. But we had the same results in the postseason, and I'd rather solidified our left field position.
It's 1 year, Graham. It's 1 year.
Okay.
I know you're always out here looking for something to be upset about. With
I am upset about that. I just don't get that, man. I don't get that. Even though I like, and here, I've come on this air and said this multiple times. I think Sean Murphy has the potential to be the greatest catcher in Braves history if he's healthy and performing offensively, because we know how good his defense is. We saw that in the first half of last season.
Yeah.
So I'm not like shitting on Sean Murphy. I'm just saying you had a guy in Contreras who's a beast offensively who didn't play enough. The year he was here where we actually got a run, and then he shipped off to Milwaukee playing every day. He was the Silver Slugger last year, and he's kicking ass this year.
So. I think I like, for me personally, and this might be where you and I differ, like I have to just like let these things go.
I can't let it go, though.
Otherwise, I'd be like you and fixate on it.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like you keep receipts.
That's not healthy
for you. You keep receipts on things.
That's not healthy for you.
But it's just like...
You got to move on, Graham. He's not in our
uniform.
I
can't move on. You got to criticize the pick if it's like a bad... Or the trade if it's a bad thing.
The only trade I've never gotten over is Mark Teixeira.
Even... Okay, trade...
When we traded for Mark Teixeira.
That was an all-in move by Schuerholz in the
Elvis
twilight
Andrews.
Of his career.
What was it? It was Elvis Andrews. It was Neftali Feliz.
Yeah. That led the Rangers to two American League championships.
There was another pitcher who was like solid. And then, yeah, obviously that was awful for us. And then on the back end...
And we never even made the playoffs with Teixeira.
We didn't make the playoffs, and then we trade Teixeira for Casey Kochman and Ron Mayhay.
That was such a bullshit trade. He goes to the Angels and then goes to the Yankees, I think, then wins a World Series, and it was so frustrating.
I think, like...
That's when Schuerholz had lost his touch, 1,000%.
And that was just, like, classic. You can't trade for one-year rentals. That's something Anthopoulos would never do.
Are you shitting me? That's how we won the World Series.
Oh, yeah, we traded guys that are going to be on other teams for 10 plus years.
Those are 1 year rentals, though.
There's a difference in trading your 28th prospect for Jock Peterson versus your 1 and 2 prospect for a year and a half of Teixeira.
I know, but you can't say they're not rentals. They were rentals. Peterson, rental. Okay. Soler, rental.
Okay, let me use my words more concisely.
No, I mean concisely, accurately.
Accurately. Anthopoulos would not mortgage the future.
No, he would not.
For a one-year rental.
It was a desperation move by Schuerholz, for sure. I want to bring up another former Brave, Adam.
That's a trade.
Who you've been adamantly...
Wait, let me guess. Wait, all right, finish your statement.
Okay, you've been adamantly supportive of this guy. You were very upset when he was gone. And I kept saying, move on from him. And then Anthopoulos listened to me and moved on from him.
Former Brave.
And you love this guy. We all love this guy. You were an ardent supporter, though.
I want to re-sign him?
You didn't want to re-sign him. You wanted to give him an extended run. You thought he was still valuable. And he's proving that he's not and that he's a little licked.
I mean, not Rosario.
No. And this just goes to prove that Anthopoulos is, and myself are right. Because I said it before Anthopoulos made the move. And you always criticized me about going against Anthopoulos.
This was a trade?
This is not a trade. This is a guy we had who was homegrown.
Not Dansby.
No. It's a guy we had who was homegrown. Great player. Ran into a little trouble.
Ozuna?
Michael Soroka.
Oh.
I kept saying that, like, move on from Soroka. Move on from him. I didn't want to give him a chance last year because I was like, he's licked. And you were like, oh, no, ball. And let's see how Mike Soroka's doing this year. A 6.48 ERA with a 1.62 whip. Although I will say, in his last game against the Twins, actually it was terrible. Never mind. He hasn't done well. He was licked. There was no reason to keep him.
Well, he's and, playing with the worst team in the league. How many wins do the White Sox have?
I think they have like they're 6-25 as of this recording.
Oh my god.
So, I mean, that's got to play into it, but we saw how licked he was last year with the Braves, and he's licked even more, but you were adamant about giving him a chance.
His contract, how much money is he making? Like $2 million bucks? Who cares?
Yeah, but he's too Achilles surgeries.
He's got too much talent. He's going to be back at some point.
I don't think he's going to be back at some point. You have to admit that you were wrong about Mike Soroka.
No, I don't. It's a month into the season, Bo.
Okay. I'm collecting receipts. I'm calling you out. You were against Contreras being... I mean, yeah, you were against Contreras being moved, and you were for Mike Soroka sticking around with a 6.48 ERA.
I wasn't for Contreras being moved. I just think we got a better catcher back.
You think... But you were... So you were for it, then?
I mean, if you're doing receipts, look at what those prospects that we traded are doing. They're not doing anything. So it was basically...
They might do something in the next couple of years.
No, they're licked, Bo.
They're licked? Okay. I'm not going to look that up.
Yeah, that's fine.
We can move on. I mean, even looking at Soroka last year with the Braves, 6.40 ERA, 1.48 whip. I mean, the evidence...
He's Mike Soroka, bro. Like, do you remember him?
I do remember. He was amazing.
In the 2019 playoffs?
And I remember when Brian Snicker decided not to start him and... More than one game in the fucking NLDS, and we lost because of that.
Because he
was a beast at that point, and unfortunately, his Achilles gave out. And it sucks, and I hate it, and I don't wish any ill on Mike Soroka or anybody, or you, or anybody else.
There's still a part of me that can't believe Kyle Wright's not on this team anymore. That's so weird.
I'm more surprised about... Yeah, I would agree with that. Because, I the proof was in the pudding with Soroka, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kyle Wright could certainly be back.
Just like... Blew out his elbow, and it's like, fuck this
dude.
Was that
the bummer? No, that wasn't the bummer trade. What trade was that even?
I don't remember. Let's see.
I think he's on the Royals.
I think he's on the Royals. Let's see what Kyle Wright...
Let's see what
Kyle Wright's doing right now.
Well, he's hurt.
Oh, yeah, he's not coming
back. That's why we traded him. He's out all year.
He's a Kansas City Royals starting pitcher. He has not pitched this year because he's recovering from surgery.
We're looking for the trade.
Yeah. Kyle... Right. Trade. And it was like bullshit. Jackson Kowar. Yeah, I remember this episode now. It's like all coming back to me like in an acid flashback.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, who's Jackson Kowar? Like, the fact that that's all we could get for Wright is mind blowing.
I think we traded him too. Yeah, we traded him to the Mariners.
Yeah, so it's he's probably involved in the Kelnick deal.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, okay. So that's why. That's why. I think Jackson Kowar was like a decent prospect.
Kyle Wright.
So basically,
started a World Series game, pitched his ass off, and then in 2022 was one of the better starting pitchers in baseball. Has an issue in 23, and then just gets.
Well, know. I guess Anthopoulos knows he's licked. Get something for him.
Oh. Yeah, he did that with Soroka. I guess he did that with Wright. But the fact that his value was lower than Soroka, who hadn't pitched since 2020, is pretty wild to me. But regardless, that's your Braves report. we'll catch up next week about what happened in this Dodgers series. And I think we'll take a little break, and then we'll talk about the rest of the NFL draft for the Falcons.
Hey, everyone. It's Ryan from No Credentials Required to talk to you about one of our newest partners at Belly Up Sports, SeatGeek.
Yeah, live sports is great on television, but the feeling of being at the arena is a priceless experience. That's why our friends at SeatGeek are there to help you find the best tickets at the best prices. Not only can you get tickets to sporting events, we can also get tickets to concerts, comedy shows, musicals, and more. Search for your desired event now at SeatGeek.com, enter promo code BellyUpSports at checkout, and you save $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets.
All right, Adam, we're back. Time to talk about the rest of the Falcons draft. We covered in depth Michael Penix. We don't need to talk about that anymore. I'm sure it'll come up. We talked about Rook Arororo, the second-round pick from Clemson, the defensive tackle, as well a little bit last week with our friend Eric from the South End Zone podcast. However, we got to break that down a little bit more, and we got to go through the rest of the draft picks. So let's start with Rook, Adam. Now that you've had a week to sort of sift through the information about Rook, what are your thoughts?
Well,
I'm like, I'm not prepared for this, bro.
Seems like it was a reach.
I think the consensus was he was like a middle of the third round,
yeah,
like pick from various prognosticators. Even Eric live when we did this on air in the last episode was like, this is odd.
Like,
not to put words in his mouth.
The fact that we traded a third round pick to get there.
And we traded our Calvin Ridley earned third round pick to get to a guy who is probably going to be in the third round.
It's just like we wasted it. Who cares? Who needs a third round pick? There it is. And then it was a run of D tackles. I think like four or something. Like after we started, four were drafted in a row.
And offensive tackles came after that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But to trade up to get a guy that like probably would have been there with our second round pick anyways.
Yeah, it's silly.
It's another misallocation of resources. But, you know, they love his length. I did love his reaction like when they showed the video of Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank calling him. And he's just like going nuts the whole time. And like he could not care less that he's on the phone with Arthur Blank, billionaire owner of the Falcons. He's just like screaming in the background. He's like, we're gonna get it, y'all made a best decision ever, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
so that got me fired up.
That was good. Yeah,
but you know, it's also like that's what Tack McKinley did as well, and that did not
just about to make that point.
So you know, I've learned from history, but I still like the passion. That's better than someone who's not excited to play football like Vic Beasley,
right? And the thing I appreciate about Rook, just looking at his stats at Clemson, consistently from 2021 to 2023, 8 tackles for loss per season. 25 total tackles last year, 5 sacks, and a 1 pass defended. But like, he's clearly a guy that's just being used in the run for the most part, and he can get the quarterback a little bit. Let's just hope that Raheem Morris and the defensive team can work some magic with him. Not to say he's like a garbage prospect. I'm not saying that at all. But maybe he can play. Maybe he can prove all those guys wrong who were saying you're a third round, middle of the third round pick kind of thing. Like, the peripherals are good on this guy. Like, I don't know if he was worth moving up for, but I'm not going to say he's, you know, a garbage pick either. Like, I mean, this is a guy that has the chance to make an immediate impact right now. And that's something that Raheem Morris was saying in his various press conferences over the weekend, was we like to use a lot of different guys in a lot of different rotations. This is not something where Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata are playing every single snap on defense. This is a thing where you're going to be moving in guys in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
And this was an issue where we really struggled to defend Terry's pick here. We really struggled last year when Onyemata and Grady went down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last 3 games of the season, we gave up a lot of points, and it got worse every game. So the fact that we have depth on defensive line is something I'm not going to be upset about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good thing. I think the only thing for me is it's just like, why is it that our board, you know, at least through these first 2 picks, is just so different than everyone else's board in the league?
And you have no evidence to back that up. You have no evidence that our board is right based off what Terry Fontenot has picked over his entire tenure with the Falcons.
Yeah, yeah.
You have no evidence for that. All his defensive picks have either underperformed or the jury's out on them. So it's hard to give Terry the benefit of the doubt here. But yeah,
this guy could be a monster.
Could be good.
I like what you're saying about the depth piece and how, you know, that's going to just keep Grady fresher throughout the game as well. Having, you know, this is not the last D-tackle we select either. But it's overall, for giving grades, Graham, B+ on this pick.
B+ on this pick. I'm abstaining from a grade on the individual pick.
Well, that's no fun.
No, it's not. But I haven't seen the guy enough, you know?
Well, like, what's your gut telling you?
My gut's telling me, based off Terry Fontenot, underperformer.
F.
not F, but like underperformer.
Okay.
But it's so hard, too, because like a lot of the guys he's taken, like, you know, specifically who comes to mind on the defensive side, like Zach Harrison and Arnold Ebiketie, are still works in progress. Like the first year for Ebiketie was 2 sacks. Last year was 6 sacks. Does he go to like 10 sacks this year? I have no idea.
That's,
you know,
it's true.
It's like maybe he knows what he's doing.
And Zach Harrison blew up at the end of the year, didn't he? He had like 3 or 4 sacks at the end of the year.
Yeah, like he stepped up. He stepped up. So I don't know.
Maybe the line's going to be, the D line is going to be our greatest point of strength next year, Graham.
I would love that. And I think that the Falcons have recognized at least that the defensive line was an issue and it needs to be solved. Part of me feels like a lot of this draft was just throwing shit at the wall. It's like, let's just draft a bunch of defensive linemen and just see who comes out. And you know what? Even if that wasn't the approach, I'm okay with taking a bunch of defensive linemen because we need defensive linemen. And it sounds like how Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake's defense works is that you have a lot of guys playing in a lot of different positions. Just because you're a DT on one play doesn't mean you're not going to be an edge on another play.
Mm-hmm. Or an edge doesn't mean you're not going to be a
DT.
A linebacker.
Or a linebacker. Yeah, like, yeah. Who the fuck knows?
All right, well, so that's that pick. What's next, Graham?
Yeah, we got Braylon Trice, who was the third-round pick. And he had the most quarterback pressures last year in all of FBS, which is great.
He's like an end, right?
He's an edge, specifically an edge. He's not a guy who's going to drop back in coverage. He's not a guy to play linebacker. He's clearly just a guy that's going to rush the quarterback.
And this was actually, like, I think this pick was, a lot of people thought this was our best pick.
Like, I think the next guy was our best pick, but I wouldn't be like upset about someone saying that.
But Trice was like pretty high up on a lot of people's lists, and like he was a Washington guy, right?
Yes, from Washington.
Played with your boy Penix.
Experience with Jimmy Lake. Played with Penix.
You know, played in some big games, and like you said, he had the most pressure out of anyone in FBS
for the last 2 seasons.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you like that, but he also plays in the Pac-12, which is an inferior conference to, like, the SEC. Or I would even argue the Big 12 or the Big 10. So it's, like, stats with, about stats in college football, it's like, who are you playing?
What did he do in the national championship game?
Three tackles, and that's it. No sacks in the national championship game against Michigan. Well, and overall, the guy had 7 sacks last season, despite all the pressures.
Okay. Well,
and there's a lot of factors to that, right? I mean, like, if you really want to get anal about it, Dallas Turner, who everybody said we were going to take, only had 10 sacks last year for Alabama. So do with that what you will. Like, there's a number of things, too, where it's like, was he playing in pass protection at all? I have no idea. We didn't watch enough Washington games to really have a great prognosis on this guy.
Enough. Yeah, we watched maybe one.
I think I watched 3 Washington games this year. So
6'4", 274. I like that size from a D end.
I mean, you think about
the experience.
Well, you think about Vic Beasley, you know, he was undersized. I felt like he was like 245. Like, I like the fact that this is a beefy guy.
Yeah.
Tall guy. And at bare minimum, it's going to challenge Zach Harrison and Arnold Ebiketie to raise their games, because I think the good news about this Falcons draft, and we'll get to the next draft pick in a second, but it's like you really went out and tried to beef up your defensive line from edge to just to nose tackle. You were bringing in a lot of people, or really three people, to really try to disrupt the line of scrimmage. And I appreciate that. Would I have liked Latu Liatu or Dallas Turner? Yes. I would have liked them over these guys based on what I've heard about those folks. I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't address a need, you know, based on these picks. So it's like you got to get more pressure on the quarterback. Maybe one of these guys steps up.
Yep.
Hopefully all of them step up, but it's just, you know, based off just the draft in general, it's just usually not how it works. So I'll be interested in watching this guy, especially in the preseason, being like, what are you doing? Are you standing out over Harrison? Are you standing out over Ebikade? Or maybe they're standing over him. Like, I like competition. That brings out the best in people.
Hopefully Raheem actually plays guys in the preseason, unlike your boy Arthur Smith.
Oh, Arthur, you bastard.
I'm guessing Penix is going to get a lot of play in preseason.
Over Heinicke?
I would think so.
So who's your backup quarterback then? If Kirk Cousins goes down, are you going to Heinicke or are you going to Penix?
I think Heineke's going to get cut.
You think so?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
That would be crazy to carry. Like, generally, you carry two quarterbacks and one guy in the practice squad. And we have that decent practice squad.
You can have three active quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, but you don't want to pay $5 million to two backup quarterbacks, you know?
Talk to Terry Fontenot.
Heineke's gone.
They just restructured his contract. I don't think he's going anywhere.
That was before the draft. I don't think they were planning on drafting Penix.
Oh, they were. And there's a story that corroborates that. So, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated came out with a story that said Penix was the guy even before Cousins, which makes you even wonder even more why the hell that we even got Cousins.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's all right. That's strange.
This is the Falcons for you. Let's talk about the guy I'm most excited about. In the fourth round, we selected defensive tackle Brandon Dorlus. Defensive tackle from Oregon. Guy's 6'3", 283 pounds. 25 tackles, 6.5 for loss, 5 sacks. And this is the big number I love. 8 pass deflections as a defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And you also had 5 sacks. I love it. Okay. I love it. I think this guy, out of all the draft picks, based off just the stats, and not even thinking about what this guy did during the season, gets me the most excited. Because if you're getting, like, that's the thing that I've been so critical about the Falcons for almost my entire life. It's like, if you can't get to the quarterback, get your hands up. And it feels like no one does that. And the fact that this guy has 8 pass breakups during a season, I love that so much, because a lot of the times, you know, quarterbacks are thrown over the middle of the field and the defensive tackles are over the middle of the field. I adore this stat. Like, that makes me, that alone, like, his other stuff is good. He's also first team All Pac-12 in 2021 and 2023. The fact that he's getting his hands up and also getting 5 sacks as a defensive tackle tells me that this guy has something going on.
Is it possible we're just going to play nothing but D tackles? No D ends.
Yeah, Grady,
Onyemata,
Orlus, and
Orlus.
Yeah, the guy we're talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Or sorry, Dorlus. Dorlus. I mean, it's a defensive tackle heavy defensive line. The only really edge guys you have are Harrison, Ebikade, and Trice, and your base defense is a 3-4. And that's not to say you're going to be in the 3-4 all the time. That's where you're starting. So I expect to see Grady on edge. I expect to see Trice at edge. I expect to see Dorlus at edge. You know, it's like, it just depends on the rotation that Raheem wants to use. And I'm really interested to see what Raheem does with this collection of talent that he has on game day. Like, how are you going to mix all these guys together? He might not even know at this point, because he's got to evaluate these guys all through rookie camp, mini camp, and training camp.
Yeah, and there's still, I know that they sign undrafted free agents. I still think there's, this roster's not complete in terms of
not at all
free agents that are still out there. So, yeah, it's not there yet, Graham. Let's get through the end of this draft first.
Yeah, but I like this pick a lot. I think this is the best pick of the entire draft to me.
It's only based off pass deflected.
Well, no, it's just like how multifaceted it is. I mean, 6.5 tackles for loss and 5 sacks and 8 pass breakups tells me you are disrupting the quarterback. And
I'm excited.
You're disrupting the line of scrimmage.
I'm happy to see so excited about a draft pick. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's this is the one. I remember I watched this live and I was like, and they talked about him. I was like, I pointed like it was like the Leo meme. I was like, this is somebody we can actually use here. This is exciting.
Is that your new boy over Landman?
No, Landman's my 100% boy.
Landman over Dorless.
Landman over Dorless because Landman's actually playing in the NFL. Let's talk about the next pick in the 5th round, JT Bertrand from Notre Dame. He's a linebacker. Likely to be a big role in special teams. Everybody likes his tackling ability. But no one knows if he's going to be like a guy that sticks. But if you're getting a 3-4 defense with 4 linebackers, our current linebacking crop is you got Lamon, Ellis. Who's our other linebacker, Adam? There's one more we can't think of. Yeah, I think this guy's going to get some work on at linebacker, especially with a 3-4 base defense.
Yeah, it seems like they're just like you
Troy
said.
Troy Anderson. I forgot about Troy Anderson.
Oh, he'll be back, yeah.
That loser. Drafted in the 2nd round from South Dakota State when Lamon outplayed him as an undrafted free agent. This is just another reason why I just don't think Terry's a good evaluator of talent in the draft.
Once again, though, Troy Anderson played like 2 games this year.
I don't care how Lamon, he played the year before and wasn't anything special, and Lamon played his ass off.
He was a rookie. I guess Lamon was a rookie too. We like Lamon.
Lamon
doesn't mean Troy
actually
Anderson's
made impact
terrible.
Plays. Troy Anderson did nothing.
But he'll be back. He'll win a spot.
So I could see this guy being the 4th linebacker. He's definitely going to be on special teams a lot. A lot of people really like what he brings in terms of being like just a good stick tackle. In terms of like he doesn't throw his head at people. He wraps up. So I
gotta say, like, you know, I obviously don't know shit about these guys, but I do like they were drafting from pretty big schools, right?
Yeah, it's not, yeah, whereas like Anderson came from South Dakota State, these guys are coming from Oregon, Washington,
Notre Dame,
Clemson. Notre Dame, you know, that's nice.
Good football schools.
Yeah. So you know, we don't have like a really big opinion on this guy, but hopefully he can contribute. He's also an Atlanta guy. So it's nice he's coming home.
His mom's happy.
His mom's very pleased. The next guy we drafted is Jace McClellan from Alabama, a running back. So this guy in his last year at Bama, 803 yards of rushing, 6 touchdowns, 4.8 yards per carry. It's fine.
Sounds good.
I mean, it sounds good, but I'm like, we have Algier and Bijan. The one thing the Falcons did not address, and I think it's going to be a huge Achilles with this team this year, is the cornerback position. I guess we're really just counting on Phillips, Brandon Phillips, to just be the man.
Clark Phillips, Graham.
Clark Phillips to be the man. He's that memorable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. There was guys like TJ Tampa was out there. Like, why didn't we draft a cornerback? And we, you know, and I'm not saying it's the 6th round, right? But I don't know why we couldn't have kept that 3rd round pick, you know, that we traded for Rook and gotten a corner. We need a corner. Yeah. I know Terry doesn't care about needs. He just cares about best player available and doesn't consider the rest of his roster. But, like, this just proves to me that this dude has no ability to build an NFL roster because he ignores edge in terms of being a premium position to address in the draft. He ignores corner, also as a premium position. Like, our best players at corner, guess who it is? It's A.J. Terrell, a Thomas Dimitroff pick.
Here's the sad stat I heard, and To wrap up the draft, Graham, yeah, we draft that guy from Alabama. Casey Washington, wide receiver, Illinois, our other round six pick.
Who no one's expecting anything from, Zion Logue from Georgia. Like how we drafted a Georgia player in the seventh round.
Again, that's what we do now.
Another defensive tackle.
He's a huge boy, though. He's like 350 and like 6'6".
I mean, if you can get in there, like, who is that guy in the Falcons? He used to be such a monster.
And defensive tackle. What was his name? From the Packers.
Grady Jackson? I think it was Grady Jackson. I'm going to look it up. Hold on.
I love that guy. Barely fit into his helmet.
Yeah, it's Grady Jackson. Yeah, I love that dude. If he can be a Grady Jackson
Zion
type.
Zion League could be that guy.
If he can be a Grady Jackson type, I'm all about
it. Just put Zion League in the middle.
And he was a sixth round pick, Grady Jackson.
Grady Jarrett on the right side. Yeah. Onyemata
if Grady
on the left side.
If Grady Jackson can take up, or sorry, not Grady Jackson, but Zion Logue can take up, you know, two offensive linemen, then I'm all about it because that frees up Grady, that frees up Onyemata, that frees up whoever's on the edge.
But not all these guys are going to make the roster.
No, they're not.
So a bit of a waste. But the stat that I heard on the back to the cornerbacks was, like, we had like something like 8 interceptions last year.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
6 of them
were from Bates, right?
Were from Bates.
Right.
And only like the corners had 0. The other 2 picks, one was our other safety and one was a linebacker. Probably your boy Landman.
And it just goes to show that the best player available when you have a roster that is in flux is not a great strategy, because you might be missing out on people that may not be so high up on your board that can help you in positions of need. And it's a delicate balancing act. I have no idea how that actually is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I know more than Terry Fontenot, but I'm not going to sit here and say that he can't be wrong. And I think he's been wrong more than he's been right throughout his career so far as a general manager of the Atlanta Falcons.
Maybe in the draft.
In the draft.
He's been damn good at free agency.
He's been good in free agency. That's where he was good in New Orleans. He has not been a good drafter. He drafts a tight end when we're in a full rebuild mode. He drafts skill position players when we don't have a quarterback. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And then he pulls the whole thing with Penix and Cousins, and it's idiotic to me. I think we're going to look back at this Falcons team in the 2024?
Currently it is.
2024-2025 season, we're going to win 8 games.
No.
We're going to have 31 sacks, and we're going to look back and say, oh, why didn't we get to the playoffs? And it's going to be because we missed out on Latu, and we missed out on Dallas Turner.
We're going to be good this year, bro.
I hope we are.
We have Kurt freaking Cousins.
But the thing is, with Kirk Cousins, he's only won one playoff game, and he's never had a good defense around him. And this is also not a good defense. You have holes at wide receiver, too. You have holes at cornerback, too. You have holes at edge.
All right. Now, what are the positive things we have going, Graham?
Positive things is you threw a lot of shit at the wall for the defensive line.
Okay. But and the roster as a whole, though.
The roster as a whole, you have receiver 1, you have RB1, you have QB1.
You have RB2.
You have RB2, you have obviously,
RB,
without
you. You have RB1 that can flex to receiver.
Yes. You have
TE1. You have TE2.
Yes. You have those things, but you also are drastically missing secondary help. Richie Grant is trash. The rest of the cornerback team isn't great.
I'm telling you, the safety from Alabama is going to be a stud starter at safety this year.
But I'm just saying, you don't have a lot of like guys on the team right now where you can like point to track record and be like, I can project this to be a 9-10 win team. I think it's an 8-win team right now as currently constructed.
You think they're worse than they were last year?
They only won 7 games last year, so they'd be better than last year.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Yeah, I think it's an 8-win team max right now because you have a hell of a lot tougher schedule than you had last year. You're playing the Chiefs, you're playing the Cowboys, you're playing Philadelphia. It's absolutely stupid. The comparisons of Green Bay and Kansas City are invalid because those teams were making the playoffs. We haven't won more than 7 games since 2017.
But that's just one man's opinion.
That's just my opinion.
And go Falcons.
Yeah, I hope I am wrong. I never wanted to be more wrong in my life than I am right now. But I think
It's not like you're on a ledge by yourself. Everyone in Atlanta thinks the same opinion right now.
A lot of people nationally think
this. But at the end of the day, this is where we're at, Graham. To be fair, I think this is his first draft.
I disagree because I think it's consistent. Arthur Smith. No, I think it's consistent with what he's done.
You don't draft
skill position players.
I think Arthur Smith would have drafted that wide receiver.
Which one?
Romadunze.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Arthur Smith would have drafted. I think this was the first Terry Fontenot draft.
I think this is a desperate move made by a...
Okay.
No, it's a desperate move made by a franchise who has screwed themselves over in the quarterback position for the last three seasons. And it's an overcorrection to a problem they made themselves. And it just goes to show... Arthur Blank signed off on this. This is not a thing. Like, we talked about it last week where it's like... There's that video where Fontenot explained to Arthur Blank what's going on about this Penix pick. And it was like, no. Like... According to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated, this is part of the plan. I feel like he's just built it from the outside in, and you need to build from the inside out. And I think he's just severely miscalculated this. And it just goes back to Arthur Blank hiring a guy who has no experience building an NFL roster as a full-time GM. And it's really disappointing. I'm disappointed as a fan of this team. I think we can wrap that up at this point. I mean, we'll find out. If the receipts are wrong, at me. Tell me I'm an idiot. But I think I'll be right by the end of this. Until next time, folks, rise up, chop on, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. We hope you're doing well. Hospitomison.
Well, that was depressing.